Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fate. On today's program, we're going to be remembering a couple of people. They were married and they were involved in education here in Jessamine County very heavily. His name was Custer Reynolds and his wife was Helen. We'll talk to their son, Burnham Reynolds, about his parents and the memories that he has of them in just a moment after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you here on this Saturday morning as we continue to remember people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Today, we're going to be talking to a fellow about his parents, about him too, but mainly about his parents and the impact they had on this community. Burnham Reynolds, good morning and welcome.
Well, thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you this morning. I was thinking this past weekend, as I knew you were coming, about how I wanted to start this. And I got to thinking, I met your mom before I met your dad. Back in the old days,
just a couple years
ago, when the Early Learning Village, what is now the Early Learning Village, was at that time, half of it was Jessamine Junior High School. There was no middle school, folks. And in that school, you went through grades 7, 8, 9.
Right.
The other half was Warner Elementary. Well, I remember in sixth grade, I think, you're walking into these pods. The school is laid out, as you know, in pods. And when you walked into a pod, there were six doors, six classrooms. And usually what happened is, starting on your right, the first two classrooms, which adjoined, were sixth grade. The middle two were seventh grade. And the ones on the left were eighth grade, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then they were the same subject. So one pod held all of your social studies. One held all your English, science, and so on. And I remember walking in as a sixth grader into this class, and there sit this lady, and I describe her in the most, this is the most complimentary way, the grandmother. She had the white hair. She had those half glasses that sit down on her nose.
That's right.
And was very jovial, but very serious. She taught and wanted you to learn, but she knew when to inject humor.
Yeah.
She was a very nice lady, but she expected you to do your work. And that was when I first laid eyes and met Helen Reynolds, who taught me science.
Yes.
At Jessamine Junior High.
Yes.
As I grew older, I finally met your dad, Custer Reynolds. And I always enjoyed your mom's personality. But when I met your dad, this guy was probably one of the most, what is a good word to describe him?
That's a good question.
Outgoing, so cordial to everybody, storyteller. Yes. I don't know, there's so many words that can describe him. But anyway, I wanted to talk about them today on our program, and who better but you, their son.
Yeah, I know him, known him all my life.
Yeah, yeah, I guess you did. Well, let's start with your dad. Where was he born, and how did he even end up here in our county?
Okay, well, and if I can reduce this down to 25 words or less or something like that. He was born in Crockettsville, Kentucky, which is up in Breathitt County, near, not too far from the Perry County line, but he grew up in Buckhorn, and he became an educator. He was principal up in Ohio at Fairfield High School. Then I was so sick with asthma all the time, I was not making it to school very much, and you can't get that done, you know.
Yeah.
So we moved down to Florida. And he got a job as principal at DeSoto County High School, which is South Central Florida, Arcadia. And while he was there, Ford Philpott, Asbury grad, came through with a traveling tent meeting, kind of like what Neil Diamond used to sing about.
Right.
And Dad was the principal, so he was expected to go. So he went, and lo and behold, got under conviction and went to the altar, and so did my mom. And they became Christians. And Ford says, "You got to go to Asbury." You know, Dad having got his master's at UK, he had heard of Asbury, but not much.
Right.
I don't know if he'd ever been to Wilmore, you know. So he came to Asbury and enrolled in the seminary, and he had a master's in educational administration, and so the college was looking for somebody. And so after 1 year in the seminary, they hired him there, and then he stayed there. And, of course, I grew up in Wilmore.
Now, that's kind of how he got here.
Yeah.
Well, let's backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
You said he was raised in Perry. Is that right?
Yeah,
Perry County?
It's Perry County. It's right. Buckhorn sits, matter of fact, the land that he was raised on sits right on the border between Perry and Breathitt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, did he kind of grow up knowing he wanted to be in education? How did that come? Do you know how?
Sure do.
How did that happen?
Well, he loved football. He got a scholarship offer to Morehead State Teachers College, as it was called then, So which is now Morehead State University. So he played football at Morehead and just kind of naturally went into the educational thing. Now, he finished his football eligibility after the fall of 1938. Mm-hmm. And then instead of going ahead and finishing, he needed like a semester maybe or a little bit more than that to finish. He drops out, you know, and taught school at Bowlingtown, which is underneath where Buckhorn Lake is right now.
Right.
And up in the lodge, they taught. About this, they got a little presentation thing about him. But anyway, and then after a while, he decided to go back and finish his college degree. But he kind of fell into education through that.
Okay.
But once he got into it, he loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah, he loved it.
Now we'll switch gears a minute.
Sure.
Where were your mom born?
My mom was born in Mount Vernon, Indiana, down near the Wabash on the southwestern tip of Indiana. But she grew up from really almost infancy in Owensboro.
Did she know? Mm-hmm. In her life that she wanted to be an educator? Was that a falling in too?
That was kind of something came later. She was a non-traditional student. She went to Eastern after she graduated from Owensboro High School and was a cheerleader over there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. So there's a book on Eastern Kentucky University down at Joseph Beth, and lo and behold, I was thumbing through it, and there was my mom jumping up. They didn't even have an E on their sweaters. They just had white sweaters and dark skirts, and the guys had dark pants, obviously. And so basically, she went there a couple of years and then dropped out of that. But then when my grandfather got a job up in Ashland during the war, 42, she thought she'd go to Morehead and finish up, and that's where she met my dad.
That's where I was going next. How did those two?
Okay.
So They met at Morehead.
Yeah. Dad came back to finish his degree. He thought, maybe I better do this. Mom was there to try and finish her. She didn't finish at Morehead, though. Mm-hmm. She wound up finishing at Asbury and graduated in 1961 when she was 40 years old.
Wow.
So she was a non-traditional student.
Yeah.
But she got into education, I think, because Dad was in it, and she thought, you know, I've always liked kids, and she loved kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think she did that. And the first year she taught, 1961-62, at Wilmore Junior High, I was in her eighth grade science class.
How was that?
She taught 7th and 8th grade. That was
the first year?
Very first year, and here I am, you know.
Oh.
And you know, it was great. I mean, because she treated me fairly.
Yes.
You know, she didn't coddle me or anything. Matter of fact, I could never say, well, I don't have a test. She knew I had a test, you know. So it was kind of cool. But I've thought about that since I've taught, and I thought, man, that would be kind of tense, especially your first year. But fine, she did great with it, and I profited by it, certainly.
Is there any particular story on how they met at Morehead?
Yeah. They had a friend named Jimmy Rose, who was his brother Gail Rose is one of the guys whose jerseys retired from basketball back in the 50s.
Yeah.
Jimmy Rose was a guy who was at Morehead when my dad came back, and he had been a young boy watching my dad play back in the mid-30s, so this is like 42, and Jimmy just hung around with my dad, and he said, there's this girl I'd like you to meet. You know? And so he was the matchmaker, and he got them together, and he became a lifelong friend, and he always was. But he's dead now, of course. And we're talking a long time ago here.
Right.
But, he introduced them, and they hit it off, and they got married out in California. And Dad was in the Marines.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mom took the train all the way across the U.S. to get out there.
Yeah.
And they got married in October of 1943, and Dad was processing recruits for the Marine Corps. He was in the 4th Marine Division at that point, originally the 2nd, but the 4th. And finally was sent over to Maui for advanced infantry training and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah. So in 43, they get married. Now, at some point in time, they had to decide it's time for a family.
Yes. I'm the only one. Well, Dad got out of the Marines in 46. They'd sent him over to China as a cargo rider after the atomic bombs ended the war. Mm-hmm. And he was in several million rounds of ammunition for Chiang Kai-shek's forces to fight against Chairman Mao.
Yeah.
And then they lost his papers, so he spent 6 months in China until they finally looked around and said, hey, where's Reynolds? You know,
well, you're kidding. What did he do?
He just hung around out there. He was on the Shantung Peninsula at Tsingtao. And basically, you know, there was some USO acts that would come in and stuff, and he'd hang around. Ben Crosby's brother, Bob, had a band called the Bobcats or something or whatever, and stuff like that. Just kind of whiled away the time because he didn't have any orders to come home. But they finally brought him back.
Golly.
Yeah, yeah. But once he got out of the Marines, he went back up to the mountains. My mom did, too. And, of course, that's a little different situation than Owensboro.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's cool. But after a while, he decided, you know, I think I'm going to get a master's degree from UK.
Yeah.
So he got one in 1951. But anyway, I was born in June of 1948, and June of 1948, and over at Hazard. And so I guess he thought, you know, I need to have a real career here. He was doing some institutional on-farm training or something,
yeah.
And that was kind of okay, but he wanted to have a real career. So he got his master's and then got a teaching job in Ohio, and then his principal 3 years later,
right.
And then down to Florida, and then...
Right.
Ended up to Asbury.
So he got to Florida. That's where he met Mr. Philpott.
Yes, sir.
Ford Philpott, mm-hmm. A well-known name in this area of the country.
Yeah. Sure.
And talk both of them in basically to come into Asbury.
Yeah.
So that brought them to Jessamine County.
That's right. Me too. I was 10 years old.
That's yeah. Well, now, where you lived in Florida at 10 years old was was a pretty good-sized community
Arcadia. Yeah, it's a lot bigger. Well, it's not huge now, but it's a lot bigger now. Of course, Florida's grown like a weed. You know?
Right.
But it was central Florida. It wasn't the beach. In the summertime, man, you know, the humidity, it was like being in Louisiana or something.
But was it any kind of a culture shock to come to Wilmore? For you
not
as a
for
child?
Me. No, I loved Wilmore because as a kid, Wilmore, you know, it's still a fairly safe place, but it was really ridiculously safe back then.
Yeah.
I used to hang around with guys like Joe Krause, you know, and a bunch of other guys who moved away. But basically, we'd pick up empty bottles and get 2 cents back. And if you get five of those, you get a Verner's ginger ale, you know, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
It was just a great place to grow up. It really was.
Hang around
the campus.
Yeah. When they came back to here, they came back to enroll at Asbury or work?
Well, Dad came back. He enrolled in the seminary, and I don't know how they got by. They kept it for me because, you know, it's kind of like you're flushing all your savings away, you know, for this idea. But during the era he was in the seminary, he coached a athletic team at Asbury to help out. But then he got employed full-time after 1 year in the seminary. He dropped out of the seminary and became a lay preacher for the Methodist Church for 40-something years.
Yeah.
But he became full-time at Asbury. Of course, the pay, back then, the pay, the numbers are a lot better now, but proportionally, it's not exactly, you know, Steve Gates territory. But
anyway. Well, especially, and a lot of people may not know this, but I think your dad was involved in a lot of fundraising for that school down there, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he garner a lot of funds for Asbury over the years?
I suppose so. I know he worked with United Way here in the county and stuff. He was chairman one year and things like that. But, yeah, he always did a lot of stuff. And a lot of times he wouldn't even mention it to us.
Right,
My mom knew it, but he didn't sit around and say, hey, do you know what I'm doing here? You know, he's a character.
You know, he was.
I really miss him.
The one thing I remember the best about him is that at the drop of a hat, this man had a story about somebody or something. I believe that you could have put him on a stage and just had the crowd at will mention any subject, and he would have had a story about it.
Maybe.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he had a bunch of them, and a lot of them he'd actually lived. I mean, you know, it wasn't Carl Hurley, you know, was a great...
Right.
He's a comic. Dad was more of a storyteller than a comic. But Carl Hurley comes up with some great stuff, but Dad actually lived some of these crazy things that happened.
You know who he always reminded me of was an old... Well, in a way, it was back years ago in the country, when I was at the old radio station, we were doing country music. Jerry Clower. You know, Jerry would tell these stories, and of course, his were just, lot of them made up, I think. Yeah. But your dad always reminded me because he could tell that, and he injected humor into it.
Yeah.
But they weren't just comedy stories, but a lot of them were funny. But your mom, she had a great sense of humor, too.
Yeah. Yes,
now, I can remember in the classroom, as I said at the beginning of the show, she taught, and she wanted you to learn, and she could be very stern if she needed to be.
Yes.
But she could come out with some of the one-liners and stories, too. They worked off each other.
They pretty much did.
Yeah,
it was a symbiotic relationship, you know. It really was. But, she liked to have a lot of fun with the kids when she could, as long as it didn't get out of hand. And there's nothing wrong with that. Learning ought to be fun.
Exactly.
Know? Really.
Is there a reason she was in science? Is that something she just enjoyed or just happened?
Actually, it just happened. She was actually a home economics, I'll get it right in a minute, home economics major at Hesbury when they used to have such a thing. But she had some science classes, so Dan Glass, who was the principal up there, said, why don't you teach science? So she fell into that.
And that explains something to me.
Okay.
And in fact, I shared this story on Facebook with your daughter.
Yes, with Maura.
Mm-hmm. With Maura a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of my most vivid memories of your mom is we would walk into that pod.
Yep.
And there would be maybe one day a week that this lady would bring her lunch and it would be liver and onions. And you could smell this.
Yes.
And what you do is when you got in the classroom, she was warming it up on one of the Bunsen burners.
Bunsen burner.
Right there in the class. And I like chicken livers, but I can't stand any other kind. I can still smell that. I'm like, oh my gosh, do I have to go to class today?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
And smell that. And she'd have it sitting in a, almost like, not a Petri dish, but something this burner warming it up during class so she could eat it. Never will forget.
See, that's my fault, because I never did like that. The only kind of liver I ever liked, and still this way, is Braunschweiger goose liver.
Yeah,
oddly enough, because that's an acquired taste.
Yes, it is.
And so the only way she could get something like that would be to make it for her and Dad, and then take some leftovers over to school. Because I still don't like it.
It's funny how you remember certain things.
It is, yes. And smells are a great memory trigger.
Yeah,
aren't they? They really are.
They are.
They sure are.
She was a great teacher. You go back, and I guess everybody can do this. When you look back in your educational period, I was fortunate in Jessamine County that I don't think I ever had a bad teacher.
Yeah, good.
But there are some who you remember more than others.
Right.
And in junior high, she, of course, was one of them. And your dad, with the story. Now, he was involved in education, as you as you said, in preaching and all.
Sure.
He ran for some political offices, too,
I think. He ran for state superintendent of public instruction in 1975. And he carried the mountains because he had gone up there and preached so much. I mean, he preached, I don't know how many funerals and memorial services and stuff. But, he came in third, I think, out of like four candidates or something. And then he ran for state representative at one point and got beaten there, too.
Yeah.
He was chairman of the Democratic Party for a little bit back in the mid-70s when Jimmy Carter was running for the first term.
Right.
And later on, he kind of decided to move away from that. But
on this program, we usually ask this question.
Uh-huh.
And it might be the hardest question you have all day.
Uh-oh.
In a word, describe your dad.
Oh, my.
As a dad.
Oh. Well, the first word that comes to my mind is weird. It's admirable. Admirable.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could be
admirable.
I hope I don't choke up here. But if I could be half the man he was, I'd feel like I really was doing something.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you describe him as a professional?
Practical.
Okay.
He's fair, too, but practical. Yeah. The kids at Asbury, when he was dean for 7 years, first he was director of teacher education for 7 years. It's like 7 year periods, like some biblical thing. Director of teacher education for 7 years, then he was academic dean and vice president of academics for 7 years, then he was chairman of the education department for seven years, then he retired. Mm-hmm. And the kids used to say all the time, he would teach us practical things, things that really will happen out there when you're teaching, which is pretty good, because a lot of theory is great, but it's just theory.
Right.
So practical, I'd say.
Same questions for you about your mom.
Yeah.
As a mom, how would you describe her?
Nurturing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was that way. You could use that word as professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, I think so.
Because I remember her that way as a teacher.
You know, we were surprised. She died in January of 2003. And I was thinking, hopefully we'll have a lot of folks come to the funeral. A lot of her former students came.
Oh, yeah.
Years later, because she retired in 1984 after 23 years of teaching. So, I think you could use that word. Yeah.
You know, that's one thing else that we have mentioned on this program several times is the fact that everybody needs to realize, and you just said it with her, you just don't know what impact you're having on somebody in your everyday life. And that may not even show itself for years.
Exactly. Yes.
But what you do today, it's I call it the ripple effect.
Yeah.
It truly, years from now, can have. And the thing is that you don't know, and you'll never know, how many people who maybe are in teaching today because of your parents.
Maybe. I don't know. I just got, this is my 44th year at Asbury now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
44?
That sounds pretty ridiculous. ridiculous, doesn't it? Time flies and you're having fun.
Wow.
But I got an email just 2 days ago from a guy named Steve Taylor, who was in the first class I taught at UK in the spring of 1973, a History 105, you know, 1715 to the present. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Are you the Burnham Reynolds who taught me back in mm-hmm. spring of 19?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I became a history major."
Wow.
Well, of course, now, you know, that maybe that's not a blessing, it's a curse, because jobs are not exactly yeah. growing on trees. But it does give you a good basis for a lot of things. But, you know, that blew me away. I thought, what? This guy from 1973?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
You just don't know.
Don't know.
Well, speaking of which, tell us what you started at UK, you said?
Well, yeah. I was in grad school. I finished my master's in 72, and I was working on my doctorate, and I was a teaching assistant in the fall of 72, mm-hmm. you know, just grading papers and listening to the lectures. And stuff. But I was given a graduate instructor position. I had two 50-student sections of Western Civ mm-hmm. in the spring of 73, so that was being thrown into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah. You know,
sink
yeah.
or swim, buddy.
Right.
And that's why I was amazed this guy remembered me, maybe for all the wrong reasons. But anyway, the idea being, though, that I then accepted a position at Asbury part-time that turned into full-time mm-hmm. Because of some health issues for one of our older faculty members, and I've been just there ever since.
And what exactly are you teaching?
My field of research is medieval history.
Yeah. The good thing about that is yeah. it never changes.
Yeah, yes and no, Doug.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
What happens is people ask different questions of the sources
yeah.
every generation.
Okay.
Peter Brown, a guy that was at Princeton, he's a real nice guy. He says there's a different angle of vision, you know, and a lot of it's being rewritten, especially the Crusades. I got a book coming out October the 6th on the prehistory of the Crusades from Bloomsbury Press over in London.
Uh-huh.
And the Crusades have been almost completely rewritten over the last 15 or 20 years as far as our interpretation of
yeah.
it. Because they found a lot more evidence and charters and wills and things like that. Plus, they've looked at it a little bit differently, and it's pretty cool. So it doesn't change. It's there. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the interpretation really does change a lot. And I'm not just talking about revision here. You know?
Yeah. Of course, you know, I will say, and mm-hmm. I will lead the pack here. I don't know a lot about medieval history.
Well, you
okay?
know, you're,
most
you're
people
a,
don't.
You're a normal American.
Most people
me.
don't. But real, what I'm getting into is that mm-hmm. you see a lot of things, fiction
oh, yes.
nowadays,
oh,
and in
yes.
the past several years mm-hmm. with stories about mm-hmm. the Illuminati and the Crusades
yes.
and all those things.
The Knights Templar.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
Oh, my
yes.
goodness. Yeah.
And it probably would be amazing if you mm-hmm. could compare those to the truth.
Yes, it is.
How much different they are.
I go to these conferences with these crusade guys, and we all sit around and fuss and complain, because the state of research on the Crusades is at one spot, but the common perception in the public is certainly mm-hmm. at something from 50 or 60 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we get the people to factor in what we actually know now?
Right.
About this? And
right.
Good luck. Maybe it'll happen someday.
You've got to make a blockbuster movie about the way you do it.
And Ridley Scott, you know, that Kingdom
yeah.
of Heaven thing. I mean, he makes a beautiful film, but it's so incorrect. You know,
yeah.
It's pretty to watch. And I'm
now,
something's there.
At some point, you decided to, or you didn't decide to, you may have just done it, fell in love. Tell us about your bride and your family.
Oh, my bride, who is a retired Jessamine County teacher
That's
as
right.
well, Michelle,
yeah.
Michelle
yeah.
Rohr Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she, this is funny. It's all funny. My story is pretty bizarre. My dad was director of teacher education from 1959 to 66, and then he was made dean. So the question was, who are we going to get to be the director of teacher education?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he hired this gentleman from Northeast Ohio, from Salem, near Alliance and that area, and his name Paul Rohr.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically he came down, and he was going to be the new guy, and I helped him move in, but I didn't meet his daughter until later. And turns out, after our families being friends and stuff, I finally thought, you know, I'm not going to date this girl because my mom and dad think she's a great girl. You know, and she's thought the same thing about me, believe me.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to be told who, you know. But finally, you know, we did date, and lo and behold, yeah, she's the one, man.
Yeah.
We've been married 46 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kids?
Yeah, three kids.
Right.
Our oldest is Maura.
Yeah.
And then we have a son, Joshua, Josh. And
mm-hmm.
he went to West out here and
mm-hmm.
through the discus, played a little football and stuff like that. And he's married also, and Moore's married. And we have three grandsons now. Each one of my three kids, the youngest one is Andy, each one of them in the last 21 months has had a son. So
wow.
With my white hair, thanks to my
yeah.
mom, I've looked like a grandpa forever.
Yeah.
Now I get to be one. You know, it's so cool. Yeah, so we got, Josh has got a little boy named Isaac, and Moore's got a little boy named Warren.
Yeah.
And then Andy's got a little boy named Eli.
Now, Maura's a teacher, right?
Yes, she's teaching at East Middle.
Does either any of the two boys?
Andy is working on his doctorate at the University of Kentucky in social work, and he's teaching at Asbury now, believe it or not, which is crazy. He's across the hall from me. It's like, what? You know, this is bizarre. But, you know, I'm going to retire pretty soon, so it's good. I'll pass the torch to him. Yeah. But he's in social work. Josh is, he was running Vinaigrette, the one over on Leestown, you know, the orange leaf guys at Vinaigrette. And he was the one who came up with all the pros and popsicles and all the drinks and all that kind of cool stuff. But he's now working very little there because he's taking courses to try to get into the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UK.
Good.
That's what he wants to do. He's always been interested in how the human body works and trying to help people out.
That's great. Well, a lot of your family education's been good to the family.
Well, lots of teachers. We're you know, it's kind of a cult here or something.
You said your mom had died in 2003?
Yeah, January 27th.
When did Custer die?
He died October the 8th, 2004. So you know,
we're looking at 11, 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
What would they think about how our community has progressed in those times?
I think they'd be pretty proud of Jesse McCown.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were when they were alive, and I think they would be now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it still bothers me sometimes on the Lexington News where they act as if, you know, they talk about something happening in Harlan or something all the time. I'm not against Harlan, but they'll ignore what's happening in Jessamine County sometimes. They got to get over that. But Jessamine County's become, I think, a fairly forward and developing place. And, you know, it's no longer some little backwater like some people used to think. I never was, really.
Yes.
But, you know,
yeah.
Some people had that opinion, I guess.
And Asbury, of course, just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, it is. And they're tearing down most of my history. Places I lived in town are now turned into parking lots and other buildings. And you know, but that's cool. That's how you do
it. It's called progress.
It's called progress. Yeah, I've heard about it somewhere.
Yeah, you've taught about it.
Sometimes,
sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, a great place to live. Well, I'll tell you, I told you earlier when we started this would go quick, and it has.
Oh, yeah.
But I am so glad to be able to recognize and remember your mom and dad.
Thank you.
You know, I spent every day, basically, of a year of my life with your mom in her classroom.
Sure.
And I've said it before in this program, and I'll say it again. She's one of those that is always in my memory. Had a great, great time with her. And you know, even thinking about the liver and onions, that's good things to think about that keeps my memory of her alive.
Cool.
But she was just the nicest one. And your dad, I tell you, I just don't know that there'll be another one like Custer.
Yeah, I could give you one more story. When Maura was about three, we were down in Naples on vacation with mom and dad and Shelley and I. And he was talking to somebody on the beach, and Maura said, "Papa, don't talk to strangers." You know, because we had told Maura, "Don't talk to strangers." But he never met a stranger. He had talked to anybody all the time. You know,
right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, he was that way.
Yeah,
and
he was
just very pleasant, as you and your family are too.
Oh, well,
and good luck in your retirement whenever that should occur.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I have to get some ducks in a row here, but
I understand.
And they're starting to line up. I hope.
Great.
We'll see.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doug.
My thanks to Burnham for coming in and sharing this information and these memories about his parents, two great people in our community, Custer and Helen Riddles. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday also. We'll do it again next week at 11 o'clock right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.